Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on assignment. This is podcast number 497, April 19th, 2011. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the donation button. Yes, the donation button located on the front page of F1 Weekly. Click on it. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, the strategy begins in qualifying. Mercedes Grand Prix seemed making some progress. Massa has been reawakened. Whose head will roll at Ferrari? And of course, Williams seem to be falling apart at the seams. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Not too bad. Of course, Nasser Hamid is on assignment in España, England, getting those interviews.
Doing his spring European tour.
Exactly. So that we call it the F1 Weekly Tour. And it's going to be fantastic because this is going to be good stuff for the listeners.
Good stuff.
Anyway, let's go to the Chinese Grand Prix qualifying, Steve.
Qualifying, very interesting. First session, typical pretty much for the first six out.
Well, yes.
As we would normally expect.
Unless you see something weird happen.
Yeah, and I think we actually did see something weird happen.
Of course.
First out, Karthikeyan, Liuzzi, Glock, D'Ambrosio. D'Ambrosio actually out-qualifies Glock this week. Kovalainen and Trulli. And also out in the first session, Mark Webber.
Which was really, you know, I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, apparently, Adrian Newey's car is really fast, but its KERS doesn't work.
Yes, but still, even without KERS, the car is so fast that obviously they've had a lot of success in the first two races. And you're just thinking about Mark Webber's mindset. He's got, obviously, the psychological warfare has begun between him and Seb. And, I could deal with Nick Heidfeld not making it into Q2. Or some of the other, even Schumacher these days. You never know what's going on over there.
Yeah.
But Mark Webber, I mean, you've got a great car. He has had some electrical problems. KERS has been a huge issue. And apparently they have overheating with the batteries because they are so compact in that beautiful Adrian Newey designed car that they don't want to change the aerodynamics to accommodate the battery pack. Yeah.
The car's fast enough without the batteries. Maybe we don't really need them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's very interesting to see him out. Very interesting to see the guys in the garage with the big rubber mittens to protect themselves from the car. So they're kind of interesting in that regard. It'll be interesting to see if they can, they've got 3 weeks until we get to Turkey as to whether or not they can kind of get their hands around this and get that working for these two guys because it looked like Seb's wasn't working either.
Exactly.
So,
serious issues for Red Bull, but still, like you said, the car is fast enough. They don't really need it, but they really do because McLaren is catching up and McLaren is working well.
They're going to need it.
DRS and a KERS that you could depend on is going to be crucial, especially at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Well, it helps so much, too, in defending against DRS.
Exactly.
Because if you can, punch your go button at the beginning of that straight and get that little extra boost at the start of the straight, it kind of negates the help that the other guy's going to get from the DRS. So
exactly.
It's very important in defending really more than it is anything else. So off into the second round, one of the other interesting things about that first session is that before Mark Webber got knocked out, it was going to be Michael Schumacher.
Thank you very much.
So
yes, but then he just went right up to what, P5 or P6?
Yeah, it was like six, I think. Jumped up to six.
Nico Rosberg in the last minute, went to P1, then Mark Webber to P16. Still couldn't cut the mustard. Michael Schumacher did finally go to P5.
Which was what pushed Mark Webber down into 16.
And actually, it was Pastor Maldonado's time that pushed Mark Webber into the dropout zone.
Yes.
So it was very funny and not so funny for the guys at Red Bull.
Yep. So second session, we've got Sutil out. He'll start 11th. Perez, Kobayashi, Schumacher, Barrichello, Heidfeld, and Maldonado. And again, for the second of three races, Heidfeld is out, qualified by Vitaly.
Thank you very much. And I just want to mention...
it might have been Vitaly's fault that he got out qualified by Vitaly.
Well, there were some good laps by Jenson Button and Lewis Hamilton at the beginning of this qualifying session, going up to P1, which was a 134.662, and then Lewis Hamilton doing a 134.486. Ferrari began looking fairly stronger. And the biggest problem is, in Q2, we had the Renaults sitting in the garage.
Waiting. Facing, you know, what we're seeing now from one or two teams is a little bit of tire strategy in trying to save tires by basically doing a one-off lap in the first two quali sessions, usually setting up their laps so that they can get one hot lap, and then if for some reason they need a second one, they'll cross the line before time runs out so they can get the second lap.
Yeah, but the problem is we know what can happen in qualifying. One red flag, one stupidity on the track, and all of a sudden you have no money in the bank.
Exactly. You know, frankly, for these guys to wait to do this, why not go out at the beginning? Because it's not like the track's going to rubber in like it was a year ago or 3 years ago where, you know, you could see a change in times from a light car at the beginning of the session to the end of the session because the track was just a little bit faster. But that's not really happening with the Pirellis because really all you're gaining during the session is more marbles on off the race line.
Hey, have you seen the photographs of those marbles? Oh, it is absolutely unbelievable.
Well, it was crazy towards the end of the race. Looking down
it's waves.
the long stretch, the outside line along the long straight was black. You know, you could see the race line and this like this black kind of thing running along the edge of the track. It was crazy.
It is crazy, and I certainly hope they could come up with something.
Yes, I say put brushes on the HRTs, damn it.
To do something
make
with
them useful.
But no, it was quite shocking, and like you said, Renault waited 8 minutes to go. They still had no time. They were saving the tires. At 5 minutes, Vitaly finally goes out, does a fantastic sector one time, goes up to P4. Nick Heidfeld goes out with 2 minutes and 20 seconds to go. Unfortunately, Vitaly Petrov is stopped on track. There is a red flag, and of course, that ruins Heidfeld's
hot lap.
Of course, and you have to blame Renault for this.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, I could probably blame Renault for, too, is that they should have brought Heidfeld in. They should have gassed him up, put him whatever they wanted, gave him a little bit more, a splash of gas, and put him on the end of the straight, into the pit lane, so he'd be the first guy out.
Yeah, but they didn't do that. But Nick Heidfeld did go back to the pits, and I was wondering, and I would, listen, in Monaco, I know it's a different kind of a track, but when a car is stopped on the track, it's off within a minute.
Yeah.
This took a long time to get this car off the track.
It was seemed a bit ham-handed. You know, the thing I think we see it at tracks like China and maybe even Sepang is that it's such a long track that it's hard for them to post marshals in good spots to get people off quickly.
They work really cheap in China. I think they can post enough marshals.
I think they probably could have more bodies to get stuff out. It's training and all that good stuff. You can find people who want to do it, too. Wait a minute. It's China. They don't have to worry about finding people who want to do anything. They just tell them to.
Exactly, Stephen. It's called Achtung.
Yes.
But anyway, so while we're waiting for this car to be removed, they announce when the qualifying session will begin, and there's a long queue at the red light at the end of the pit lane exit. And of course, Sergio Perez, the smartest guy in the group, was first one in line.
Yeah.
But still, the best part, and we had a miniature race is when the red light went green and everybody was jockeying for position.
Yeah.
I mean, we had passing.
Well, it was fun watching you. You've got this line of cars going down that back straight. But a third of them are weaving back and forth to try to get heat into their tires. And it's like the other guys are trying to maybe get past that guy.
It was wonderful. That part I liked. It was entertaining and hilarious. But no, Nick Heidfeld is out. P16 is all he could manage. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to start Heidfeld bashing yet. I'm going to save it all.
Yes. Well, we'll see again. We'll give him...
I'm giving him some time. Some
slack this week and see how he does in Turkey.
We'll see how he does. And he better be in the top five or I'm whipping out the chains.
Call Robert and tell him to get off his lazy butt and get back in the car.
Absolutely. So like you said, out Nick Heidfeld, Pastor Maldonado, Rubinho, and Williams. Everything is completely falling apart at Williams.
You know, I don't know what it is. They had a car. They look like they had things lined up and ready to go at the beginning of the season, and the car just is not. It's kind of like somebody forgot, you know, hey, you need to tighten that bolt.
Yes. Michael Schumacher is out as well in the second qualifying session.
P14.
Ça c'est la vie.
Yes.
Nico Rosberg outdoes his teammate once again.
Once again.
Kamui Kobayashi is out. Sergio Perez and Adrian Sutil. And in Q3, I was impressed. You know, Jenson Button went out first. Not languishing in the paddock.
Yes, not waiting around for anybody to help him out. I liked McLaren's strategy in qualifying. They got things done and did a really good job with it. But again, there's, you know, the fastest man on track, it seems, when it comes to a one-off lap. Nobody can be outrun that guy.
That's true. And, of course, Sebastian Vettel puts in the fastest lap ever for Shanghai.
Which is amazing, considering we're talking about running a smaller V8. And now, you know, especially with the aero restrictions that we're seeing now, though I think having DRS makes a big difference because you can, you know, take that, what, 100 pounds, what's like 100 pounds of downforce or something ridiculous like that off the car on that long straight. So that helps a bit. But still, I'll be able to run a V10, you know, because even last year, the way V10s, you know, aero was pretty over the top.
It's true. And of course, his lap was a 133.706.
Almost a full 7/10 faster than Jensen's lap.
And the way things were going, I thought Lewis Hamilton might pull one off.
He was looking really good.
Both McLarens are looking very, very good. Of course, Ferrari is languishing. They have no chance right now at the front of the spear.
No, because they actually got out qualified by Nico Rosberg, who qualifies P4 ahead of Fernando and Felipe. You got to wonder what's going on with the Ferraris.
Maybe some
minor incremental changes, a little bit of help. They're a tiny bit faster this week, but I think that actually could be the track that helped them out more than the
performance of the car. Heads will be rolling in Maranello. I guarantee it. I know Montezemolo is not going to put up with this. It's Ferrari. He's got Fernando Alonso. He's paying a lot of money for Fernando, and they're not giving him the car that he needs. And the other thing is, the Pirellis have really thrown him off.
Exactly. You know, hey, it's an Italian tire manufacturer. You guys should be able to use them.
Yeah, you would have thought that they would have gotten together and had a couple of Camparis. And you know. Yeah,
exactly. And got the inside scoop.
Yeah, but obviously not.
No, it surprises me because, you know, after the way last season ended, I really expected them to be a little bit more competitive.
And I trust you me that not only Montezemolo, but the Pope himself will be calling Mr. Pirelli.
The Italian government will probably be involved.
Absolutely. This is big, big stuff. But anyway, like you said, Sebastian Vettel gets pole position, and Jenson Button out-qualifies Lewis Hamilton, and Lewis Hamilton decides to stay in the pits and does one lap. He's saving a set of softs. And that is the big strategy now, is you have to mix qualifying with your race, because being on pole is not necessarily going to win you the race on these new tires.
No, because of the extra stop or two that we're having to run now, it doesn't really behoove you to be out front unless you could really run away, and nobody can really run away
with these tires
quite that much.
No, yeah. These tires, when they fall, it's over the cliff. Yeah, they're done.
Exactly. We're talking a lot of these guys. It's kind of a ramp up. It's like a half second, and then it's 3/4 of a second, and then it's multiple seconds.
Yes, and you'll see in the race when your tires are gone, anybody can pass you. Bob Newhart in a Prius will pass you if he's on good years or something.
Well, if he's on fresh Pirellis.
Yes. So it is out of control. But anyway, Sebastian Vettel and Jenson Button on the front row. Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg do an outstanding job for Mercedes Grand Prix. And obviously they've made some progress.
Definitely. Their car is definitely faster, especially in Nico's hands, than the two Ferraris. And give credit to the Toro Rosso boys, because both of them got into Q3 this week.
Well, what helped them was the Petrov incident, and they certainly did look pretty good. And of course, they're fighting at Toro Rosso
between each other to save their seat.
Exactly. So, because Ricciardo is sitting there giggling.
The big smile on his face. And then Paul Di Resta in Q3, qualifying 8th.
So, who?
Paul Di Resta.
Yeah.
You know, the cousin of...
That's it. Fantastic. But Vitaly Petrov did make it into the top 10, even though he was stopped on track.
His time held up to get him in.
Exactly. So there you have it, and there you go. And I want to mention that the weather is certainly nowhere near as warm as Malaysia.
No.
We have cooler track conditions, actually, which I think complement the Red Bull and its tires.
Well, it makes it easier for the Red Bull to stay on track longer on those tires. Than it did. Though I think it may in the race actually have hurt them a little bit, because it actually was warmer on Sunday than it was on
race day.
Race day.
Correct. Well,
race day was warmer than it was on.
And of course, quality. Everybody's thinking, I mean, Sebastian Vettel is unstoppable.
You've got to wonder, because especially the way he out qualifies Jensen by, you know, more than a half a second. It's like, wow, this kid's.
And his curves really doesn't work very good.
Yeah. So, okay. Wow.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Red Bull is hot and Ferrari is cold.
Exactly.
Let's go right to the Grand Prix. Chinese Grand Prix. McLaren having trouble with Lewis Hamilton's car 15 minutes before the roll-off. And this was pretty interesting, but a chaotic situation in Lewis Hamilton's garage. He's sitting in the car. Oh, and before I even start this, I want to mention the oddest thing I ever saw when Sebastian Vettel got pole was how long he stayed in the car.
Yeah, it was really weird, because he stops in Parc Fermé and he's like sitting in there.
And sitting.
Shaking hands with people.
Everybody's left.
Sitting there.
He's still in the car.
And suddenly a couple of his mechanics show up, and then he gets out of the car. It's kind of like, on the broadcast I was watching, they were speculating that there were issues with his car, and that he didn't want to get out because he didn't want to get shocked.
I thought is, you know what I thought it was? That he had urinated on himself. You know, and you remember those days when you were a little child, and if that little wet spot had showed up, it's embarrassing.
Yes, you kind of stay.
So that was me, Stephen. But obviously, though, I'm, you know, maybe admitting to more deep-seated issues than I should be.
Yeah, they're also talking about possibly that he was waiting for the German television cameras to show up or something before he got out of the car.
Oh, that's it, Stephen.
Okay.
No, apparently they were waiting for the FIA to give him a go ahead.
Oh, really?
Steve, I'm just telling you what I heard on the Beeb.
Okay, Sebastian, you can get out of your car now. I didn't know that you had to have permission from the FIA to get out of your car and park for me anymore.
It's stranger and stranger every day. But anyway, like I said, Lewis Hamilton, there was an issue with too much fuel going into the intake, flooding the system. They had ignition, but it would not start.
Yeah, so they were waiting for the cylinders to dry out a little bit.
Yeah, they had paper towels rolled out. You know,
it was too funny, though, to watch him go around on his reconnaissance lap with, you know, half of his engine cowl missing.
Yes, but still, that caused a little evaporation and cleaned up the whole engine bay, because they had a lot of spilt fuel.
Yeah. It's always fun watching a mechanic standing in the engine in the garage with fire extinguishers at the ready.
Well, you never know. A spark anywhere, you know. One of those French guys walks by, throws in his Gauloise. Kablamo.
Allez up. Stupid McLaren.
You stupid. Hopefully that would have been Flavio. But anyway, that didn't happen. And apparently everything was fine. He does finally get up to position third spot on the grid. And
quickly working feverishly to get the rest of his car on.
Yes. It was fascinating, but they did it.
Yeah.
They did a great job. McLaren's a great team. And they certainly had a little bit of a challenge at the beginning of the Chinese Grand Prix. Let's go right to the start, because it's an interesting start. Because Sebastian Vettel has a terrible start, which is unusual.
Yeah, and well, not only that, but I think he was trying too hard to defend and not really focusing on getting down to the first corner.
Yeah, but his car bogged down, something with the clutch, and Jenson Button was off.
Exactly. Well, and so was Lou.
Yes.
Basically, Louis was getting up there too. And by the time they get through the first turn, it's the two McLarens out front.
Yes, and Vettel was able to hold off Nico Rosberg.
Yeah.
But he was next in line.
He was fighting to hold him off, too.
Absolutely. Paul DeRussa was up to seventh. Michael Schumacher was up to P10. And Vitaly Petrov makes a mistake, and Yarno Trulli and Kamui Kobayashi get by him. Felipe Massa gets ahead of Fernando Alonso. And, of course, DRS is enabled on lap three.
Yep, exactly.
It was fascinating. Lap two, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton, 1:44.461. Mark Webber passes Sergio Perez for P16. Kamui Kobayashi and Heikki Kovalainen made up two places themselves. Kamui passes Jaime Alguersuari for P10. Fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel on lap 3, 1:44.636. On lap 4, Jenson Button responds with a 1:44.013. And then they announced it, a possible jump start by your favorite man, Vitantonio Liuzzi.
Poor Vitantonio.
Yeah. How can you jump start at the end?
But it's like, come on. It's HRT. Cut him some slack.
Yeah. I would have cut him some slack.
Because even if he did jump, but he still didn't get anywhere with it.
Lap 5, fast lap of the race. Jenson Button with a 1:43.9. Mark Webber passes Rubinho for P15.
Keep an eye on this, because this drive by Webber brings back memories of our favorite new NASCAR driver in the McLaren built by Newey.
In the camping truck series?
Well, back in 05 when, you know, or was it 04 when consistently the car would break and he'd start from the back of the grid.
Well, Kimi is challenging now that he will race an F1 if he can drive the truck.
Exactly. Get the hell out of my way.
Thank you.
And he can bump draft.
Thank you very much. Paul DeRussa on lap 5 tells his team that he's having a problem with the rear end. Paul, that's called a full fuel load.
Yeah, exactly. And Pirellis.
And Pirellis. Lap 6. Then Nick Heidfeld is Mark Webber's next target. Drive-through penalty for Vitantonio Liuzzi for the jump start. Vitaly Petrov passes Jaime Alguersuari for P11. Lap 7. Fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1:43.9. Nick Heidfeld needs to get around the Toro Rosso's. He needs to be machismo.
Yes, he needs to get past them because they're slowing him down and keeping him away from the rest of the front end field.
My favorite pass is next. Sergio Perez passes Rubinho and Mark Webber. Machismo.
Yeah, it was a good. Basically, Rubinho worked really well to hold off Webber, but Sergio went, "Oh, hi guys.
Yeah,
hi.
I got better things to do."
Exactly.
It was beautiful. Lap 9. How many Alguersuari pits? Nick Heidfeld gets ahead of Buemi. Jaime Alguersuari comes out of the pits, goes on track, and we see this large donut thing fly off the car. And, you know, thank God for good fencing.
Yeah, because that tire came really close to finding a batch of stewards at the side of the track. You know, they may be
few and far between. It was pretty scary.
But it was, It ends up crashing into the barrier literally 10 feet past one of the stewards'
posts. Obviously, the wheel nut didn't go on right. They didn't put the clip that you're supposed to put in after the wheel nut is on, which we've seen a million times, and I'm surprised this clip hasn't been reinforced by FIA regs.
Yeah, you know, actually, you know, you may see a fine.
Oh, there was a fine.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that later in my own Motorsports Mondial, brought to you by moi. Lap 10, Michael Schumacher pits, Mark Webber, Pastor Maldonado pit as well. Mark Webber comes out, he's in P20. He decided to just add it a little extra zing.
Well, the thing that surprised us with Webber is that he went in that early because he started on the hard tire.
Correct.
You're kind of like going, what's he doing in so soon?
Well, he wanted to get those out of the way.
Yeah, and that's exactly the case, is that basically he wanted to get his hard tire stint done, and then he can run out the rest of the race on the softs so that he ends the race on soft tires, whereas more than likely the people in front of him are going to be vice versa, where they're going to be finishing the race on the hards, which should give him a little bit of an advantage.
You would think.
On the way home.
Lap 11, Paul de Resta pits. Jaime Alguersuari is in, he's out. Lap 12, Nico Rosberg pits. Jenson Button pits. Fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 143.4. Lap 13, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 143.3. And Nico Rosberg says sayonara to Nick Heidfeld.
And you can see why Red Bull isn't that concerned about not having their their curves in place, because they can get out on track and put down the fastest laps without it.
Right, exactly. Lap 13, Sebastian Vettel is all over Lewis Hamilton. He does it. Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton both pit at the same time. Jenson Button stops in the wrong box on the following lap.
He goes straight through Red Bull's box, which was really crazy.
It was, and they talked a lot about this. A lot of people said, I don't think I've ever seen this before. I have.
Yeah, it's not unusual. Especially it's happened before. If you have the number two box and the guys in the number one box are there, it's kind of like, you're way down on the ground. There's these guys standing by the, hey.
But it happened to Scott Speed going into the Red Bull box instead of the Toro Rosso box. I think it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was the talk of the town. Lap 14, Mark Webber, fast lap of the race with a 142.6. Lap 15, Felipe Massa and Lewis Hamilton pit. Felipe Massa comes out ahead of Lewis Hamilton in P7. Lewis Hamilton is P9. Sergio Perez splits him with P8.
The other thing about the stop with Vettel and Button is that Vettel was able to leapfrog Button coming out of the pits.
Correct. Well, obviously, because Button slowed and went into the wrong pit box and then moved up to the McLaren pit box. And then,
Sebastian was in his pit box. And
everybody was dazed and confused, exactly. Basically.
Except for the Red Bull guys. They were ready for their man.
Exactly. On lap 16, Fernando Alonso, Sergio Perez, Rubinho pit, Sebastian Buemi, and Timo Glock pick as well. Lap 17, Michael Schumacher, Fernando Alonso both pass Nick Heidfeld. His tires are going. He has not pitted yet. Nico Rosberg is now leading this Grand Prix.
Good for Nico to get some leading laps. I believe they were saying first time in his career that he's led the race.
I don't know about that, but it was definitely a good sign for Mercedes Grand Prix. They have taken some steps forward. It's just that Michael Schumacher hasn't figured it out yet.
Yeah,
ça c'est la vie, huh? On lap 18, Nick Heidfeld finally pits, realizing that everything is falling apart, and he comes out in P16. Not very good. And the race is as it is. Nico Rosberg leading, Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Michael Schumacher, Fernando Alonso, Pedro. I see, every time I see these initials, I want to see Pedro de la Rosa. It's Paul de Resta, Adrian Sutil, and Kamui Kobayashi rounding off the top 10. Lap 19, fast lap of the race, 142.612. And
By the way, that's an I, not a lowercase L.
Thank you. And apparently I forgot to write down who put in that fast lap on lap 19. Fernando Alonso is all over Michael Schumacher. And this is the big surprise of the day for me. On lap 20, fast lap of the race is Nick Heidfeld with a 142.4414.
Well, it just shows that the Renault can be fast on a fresh set of tires.
Fresh set of tires is everything in this day and
exactly.
age.
Exactly. Especially, you know, we've saw this repeatedly where the guy would go in, he'd get fresh tires, he'd do one lap, and the next lap he'd be the fastest guy on the track.
Absolutely. Nico Rosberg is leading, and he has a 5 seconds over number two, which is pretty impressive, especially with these tires these days.
Oh, yeah.
Lap 21, team tells Nico Rosberg to lift 25 meters before he hits the brakes. In other words, he needs to save fuel.
Save fuel and also maybe a little bit of wear tearing his brakes.
Well, he's bumming because now, you know, if he's got to lift 25 meters earlier.
There's 2 or 3 tenths a lap that
absolutely.
He's going to give back to Sebastian.
Absolutely. They didn't account for fuel consumption accurately. Something is not right.
And again, something like this happening at a Braun Run team really kind of makes you question. It's like, well, wait, that's not. Shouldn't have like 5 people check those fuel figures?
Well, especially at the third race of the season. Lap 22, Fernando Alonso still trying to pass Michael Schumacher, and all we know is it's not so easy. Mark Webber has no KERS. He's asked the team if he has KERS. They say, no, Mark. You don't get KERS this week.
No. Have you had it yet this year? What do you think you're going to get? You think you're going to get it now?
Exactly. Lap 24, Jenson Button pits, goes for the softs. Out in P8. Sebastian Vettel now is catching Nico Rosberg because he's lifting 25 meters before the braking point. Nico Rosberg finally pits. Lewis Hamilton pits. Lap 25, Mark Webber pits. And Fernando Alonso finally passes Michael Schumacher on lap 26. Very exciting stuff. Michael Schumacher pits afterwards and comes out in P13. Lap 27, fast lap of the race. It's a 141.536, Jenson Button, and then so does Nico Rosberg. It's fascinating. Sebastian Vettel now is 1 second slower than Nico Rosberg and the McLarens. Lap 28, Nico Rosberg passes Fernando Alonso in the slow Ferrari, and trust me, heads are going to start rolling.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough 3 weeks in Maranello.
And then apparently Sebastian Vettel is having an issue with the radio.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, we can't hear you, Sebastian. Sorry, Sebastian, we can't hear you.
Exactly. Sebastian just has to deal with it. Lap 29, Lewis Hamilton passes Fernando Alonso. And I'm thinking, you know, Fernando, it might be time to get some tires.
Yeah.
Because exactly. When these tires drop,
yeah, you become,
it's over.
You're a dead duck. You know, you may as well be driving an HRT.
Yep. Lap 29, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 140.8. Michael Schumacher passes Nick Heidfeld just for laughs. And the fast lap of the race on lap 30 is Lewis Hamilton with a .140.7. Lap 31, Sebastian Vettel finally pits. Fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton, 140.7. And he's all over Jenson Button coming out of the pits. Fernando Alonso pits, 3.7 stop. Pretty good.
Yeah.
At least they got their stops right.
Yeah. One would hope. Yeah, those guys don't want to lose their jobs because, you know, you screw up in a pit stop, Zamola might just make an example of you.
Lap 35, Lewis Hamilton, great pass on Jenson Button as he mocks him. It was pretty exciting, but it was, you know, Lewis Hamilton was on a mission.
Yeah, definitely.
He showed some chutzpah.
Chutzpah?
Yes, it was wonderful. Mark Webber, fast lap of the race with a 140.7. Rubinho. And D'Ambrosio do a pit stop. Can Nico Rosberg win this race? I was thinking just for a minute, then I said, nah, it's not going to happen.
Not likely.
Not with these tires. Fernando Alonso is stuck behind Vitaly Petrov, but finally gets by. Lap 37, Jenson Button pits. Mark Webber is all over Michael Schumacher. Vitantonio. No, excuse me. Petrov pits. Lewis Hamilton pits on lap 38 and comes out right in front of Jenson Button. Mark Webber got past Michael Schumacher. Nico Rosberg pits and comes out right in front of Lewis Hamilton. He tries to pass. Nico Rosberg said,
no. Don't think so.
Yeah, there's some good incidents like that in this race. Mark Webber pits for the last time on lap 40. Lewis Hamilton locks it up, trying to pass Nico Rosberg. Heikki Kovalainen and Pastor Maldonado doing absolutely nothing. Pit as well. Team tells Nico Rosberg fuel is an issue.
Which is really sad because, dude, he's in the lead. Or, you know, he's fighting for this race, but really, the fact that he's light on fuel forces him to not push.
And not fight.
Yeah.
And not only that, the worst part is towards the end of the race, they tell him, nah, you had fine. You had plenty of gas.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, well, we forgot that. We forgot to move that decimal point.
Lap 42 is Sebastian Vettel, Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Justin Button, Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Michael Schumacher, Paul Di Resta, and Kamui Kobayashi. Fast lap of the race, Mark Webber, the 138.9. He is pounding him.
Pounding him out.
I mean, it's pretty impressive stuff. The team tells Felipe Massa to beware of Lewis Hamilton. I don't know.
Beware, because he's going to blow right past you.
Exactly. Apparently, there's been some contact between Sergio Perez and Nick Heidfeld. Felipe Massa is having a decent race, much better, much more enthusiastic than his teammate.
Yeah, definitely he's in the race. He's racing for a change.
Yes, and for a minute there, I thought he might get a podium.
Was really interesting because in this last third of the race, we're looking at this race and going, there are like three or four guys that are really in a position to possibly pull that last spot on the podium.
But the person who saved his tires in qualifying is going to show him who's boss.
Who's boss.
Exactly. Now Lewis Hamilton finally gets by Felipe Massa for P2. Mark Webber passes Fernando Alonso easily, may I say. And apparently there seems to be some issues with Fernando's rear wing. We see an opening in sections of the racetrack where it's not supposed to be opening. And it's like talking. It's like a puppet.
Is it broken again or is he cheating?
It doesn't matter. How can they cheat?
Yeah. I love the comment on lap 44. Hamilton, all over the Massa's gearbox. The Brazilian tires, far more tired. Come on.
I know. But what can you do? That's the way it was. Nico Rosberg passes Felipe Massa, then goes too deep, and Felipe Massa and Jenson Button get by Nico. Jenson Button now is all over Felipe Massa on lap 45. Lap 46, can Sebastian Vettel finish this race without stopping one more time, is the question I have in my mind. Contact between Sergio Perez pushing Adrian Sutil off the track, and, you know, Sergio has had a couple of great races, but in this one, he was having some serious issues.
Yeah, he was getting a little bit crazy.
Maybe he's hanging around Kamui too much.
Yeah, maybe.
Lap 47, Lewis Hamilton is now catching Sebastian Vettel. And let's not forget that Sebastian Vettel pitted in lap 31 for tires. Lewis Hamilton, lap 38. So Lewis Hamilton has the upper hand with fresher tires.
Definitely fresher tires.
Lap 48, drive-through penalty for Sergio Perez for just banging everybody.
For just running somebody off the road.
Lap 49.
It's like, dude, it's not NASCAR.
Lap 49, Lewis Hamilton is now beginning to realize that this race can be his. The paper bag can be broken through.
Yeah, the Red Bull can be bested.
Yes. Lap 50, two stops for this race. Not smart. Mark Webber is on a mission. Lewis Hamilton almost passes Sebastian Vettel. Wow, so close. I mean, the fight right there at the end, those last laps were very, very exciting. And we knew that Vettel's tires were just not going to be able to save his ass.
Nope.
Sebastian Vettel may have to settle for second position.
Well, the question becomes, too, is can he hold off the likes of Button and give it?
Yes.
Because Button's coming up quick. Weber's coming up quick. Rosberg isn't that far behind.
Webber was coming up quick. This guy was unbelievable.
It was just a phenomenal race from him.
And Nico Rosberg goes by Felipe Massa as he goes wide. Mark Webber on lap 51 passes Massa. Lewis Hamilton passes Sebastian Vettel and takes the lead. Vettel's tires, there was no way he could defend.
Yeah. Basically he got bested by the DRS too. And he couldn't hold the corner as tight as he needed to keep Lewis off. And since he doesn't have Kurs, he can't kind of fight back either.
It's absolutely beautiful. Lap 53, Mark Webber passes Nico Rosberg. And on lap 54, the team tells Jenson Button, Mark Webber is coming. Beware of the Webber.
Beware the Webber.
But it was true.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, well, I was freaking out. And Jenson Button has a podium here, dude.
Exactly. And well, McLaren's going to get 1-3 at this point, which is a huge point haul for them.
Huge. Not only that, but it's a testicular haul. Finally showing those Red Bulls that we have the balls to do it.
Exactly.
And Mark Webber says, no.
Dude, I don't think so.
And I'm telling you, this is what I like in racing for sure, is when the last few laps and somebody like Mark Webber, who started in 18th position,
manages to get himself
on
all the way.
Lap 55 passes Jenson Button to deny him a podium finish. Can you imagine that? Mark Webber is just going, yes, I am an Aussie dude.
I am a man.
So it was very exciting. It was great for the audience. I enjoyed every minute of this. And Mark Webber was just fantastic. He gets by Jenson Button. Of course, Kamui Kobayashi does deny somebody some points, and that would be Paul DeRista, and passes him, and Paul DeRista will have to settle for P11. And it would have been great if he could have gotten a point, because then he would have had an unbroken streak.
Of three races.
Well, a streak is a streak, Stephen.
Exactly. Well, you know, we're looking at something, you know, to put down rookie point streaks. You know, you start working, start talking about him catching Hamilton for a rookie point streak.
Absolutely. So in the end, of course, Lewis Hamilton wins his first Grand Prix of the 2011 season. And it was a great Grand Prix. It was exciting. There was lots of happening. And of course, everybody is applauding Pirelli.
Yeah, just because this of the races so far really brought the tires to the fore. Because I don't know if it was just the way this track works or what, but you know, there was passing all over the place in more than just at the end of the long straight. Just fantastic, a fun race to watch. You know, one of the problems we were seeing towards the end of through a lot of last year is you'll get a race like this with the Bridgestones, and it would get really processional because you know there was going to be the one stop to change from softs to hards or hards to softs, and wasn't a lot of action going on. The tires and the extra pit stops are making such a huge difference in what's going on the track.
Yeah, and to keep it in perspective, Mark Webber was only 7 seconds away from Lewis Hamilton on the last lap, which is pretty impressive starting in P18.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with these Pirellis. Anything can go wrong.
And a car with no KERS.
No KERS. They said no KERS for Mark Webber because you are number two.
Yeah. Just a fantastic run. You know, maybe he gets a little benefit in that he's in traffic most of the race, so he's able to use his DRS down that back straight a lot. But still, to get that close.
Absolutely. It was exciting. And congratulations to Lewis Hamilton. An outstanding Grand Prix and an outstanding win for McLaren. Steve, top 10, please.
Top 10 for the Chinese Grand Prix, the UBS Chinese Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton wins about 5 seconds over Vettel. In second, Mark Webber in third. Button finishes fourth. Rosberg fifth. Massa sixth, outpacing his teammate Alonso in seventh. Michael Schumacher gets some points in eighth. Vettel scores some points in ninth. Kayumi Kobayashi in 10. DeRista, Heidfeld, Barrichello, Buemi, Sutil, Kovalainen, Perez, Maldonado, Trulli, D'Ambrosio, Glock, Liuzzi, and Karthik Kayan.
Thank you, Stephen. This was an outstanding race, of course. Now we have a three-week break before the Turkish Grand Prix in beautiful Europe. I have some quotes from some teams and some drivers. Very fascinating stuff. Ferrari, Luca di Montezemolo has demanded a fast improvement from his team following a slow start to this year. Quote, this cannot and must not be the team's level. It's a very delicate moment. I expect our engineers to act with determination and know-how, unleashing the maximum of their capacity to improve the performance of the car in a short time. I want Ferrari to be at the level that both we and our fans demand. It should be, Steven.
It should be.
Sacré bleu
tout le jeu.
Exactly. Fernando Alonso has admitted that he has frustrations in 2011 because of the new Pirelli tires. He does not like them.
It's because he's not finishing well.
Yes.
If his car were fat, if he were at the front of the spear, he'd be loving them.
You think? Well, Fernando says, quote, "With this year's tires, it's impossible to race. You feel competitive. You feel you are doing a good race. And some parts of the race, you feel very slow. Because there are people who catch you and overtake you without any problems. So you need to keep concentration. You need to keep focused on your own strategy. And in the end, when you have a quick car, any strategy is good. As Weber showed today, when you have a slow car, everything is more difficult."
I think it's coming through that Fernando doesn't like to be passed.
You think?
And these tires put him in a position where he's vulnerable to being passed because the tires allow, you know, old softs versus new softs.
Yes, there's no, yeah, the difference is just too huge. And it is very, very fascinating. Renault, Eric Boullier admitted the team was left frustrated following a difficult Chinese Grand Prix on Sunday. Boullier, quote, says, "Starting where we did, it was always going to be difficult to repeat the results we have had already this season. In the end, it turned out to be quite frustrating afternoon for us, and we didn't really make the progress we expected in the race." Yeah, I noticed that. Keep up the good work. Sergio Perez about banging wheels all over the world. He apologized to Adrian Sutil for the collision in the Chinese Grand Prix, and the German, understood.
Slapped him upside the head like the other German.
Yeah, well, I think they went off playing a piano duet somewhere. No. But
knocking back some tequila shots.
Sergio says, "I'm very sorry for the accident with Adrian. I am sorry for him and sorry for the team. At this time in the race, I wanted to get the most out of my tires as I was under pressure from Vitaly Petrov, so I was quite aggressive. Unfortunately, I lost the rear when I was already on the inside of Adrian and crashed into him." These things happen, Steve.
Yeah, and actually, you know, kudos to them both because they both finished the race.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's the other thing about this race that we didn't mention. There was only one car that didn't finish, and it was a mistake by the pit crew that kept them from finishing, which is pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Keep up the good work, Toro Rosso.
Yeah, otherwise we wouldn't have had... Everybody would have finished. We can't have that in a Formula
exactly.
race.
Nico Rosberg says that we are optimistic for one, which is nice. It is good to see after such a disastrous start to turn it around and then lead the Shanghai race for I don't know how many laps. No one saw that coming, and it was a brilliant change for Mercedes Grand Prix. There was a feeling of optimism again, but we are still 1 second off the Red Bull racing in qualifying, so we need to be careful because we need to be 1/10 ahead of them, which is quite true.
Yeah, anybody's got, you know, frankly, for everybody, that's the goal right now is to catch Red Bull.
Absolutely. Of course, another team where heads need to start rolling is Williams. Sam Michael says that changes will be made to the organization to turn around its disappointing start to the season, and he has not ruled out moving to a different role or leaving the outfit totally if that is what is needed. And that's a hint that he could be on the way out. And
the problem with that is that that kind of discontinuity this early in the season isn't really going to help you get back that lost speed. You know, it's kind of, okay, let's throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, but they looked pretty good in in preseason testing. They showed some pace, and some every once in a while they looked pretty good. I think there are some management issues at Williams.
Something's missing because they weren't able to translate that into the car that's on the track now.
Quickly, Toro Rosso has been fined €10,000 after the incident during the Chinese Grand Prix that saw Jaime Alguersuari lose a wheel and a wheel nut and a cotter pin.
Well, I don't think they lost a cotter pin. I think it's still in the gunman's pocket.
Yeah, probably. He was saving it. It was lucky
cutter pin.
Red Bull Racing, they have plans on upgrading their KERS for the Turkish Grand Prix.
To one that works, I hope.
Exactly. Well, it's under warranty.
Oh, okay.
So they're going back to Best Buy, and you know Best Buy is great with this stuff.
Get the new controller.
Absolutely.
And they bought that upgrade warranty, so they're actually going to get the new generation.
Well, and I think they're changing from Ever Ready to Duracell. Hey, you never know.
No, you don't.
So that's my tip of the week for Red Bull. But we have got another upgrade for Kurs coming for Turkey. He explained it's getting better and better as we get more understanding of the system and more mileage on it. So I'm confident that this niggly issue that we have...
Get more mileage on it. They have yet to run... Poor Weber has yet to run a weight race with it.
I don't know. You know, they say the Red Bull's Kurs problems are related to cooling issues of its in-house battery system. Hence, Duracell.
Yeah. It's the change for the battery.
Okay, and quickly, Team Lotus, while not the best result for Team Lotus, Heikki Kovalainen insisted that 16th place finish in the Chinese Grand Prix marked the best performance for the team as it was able to beat some of the established teams on merit.
On merit.
I like that. You know what?
Hey, at least,
he's not spewing negativity.
Exactly. At least he's... upbeat about something.
I like positive attitudes, Steven. So, you know, I think it's good. So anyway, let's go right to our forum. 50 words on the Chinese Grand Prix. And I shall begin with Kei Sin. Red Bull manages to throw away a seemingly certain first place. What price occurs now?
And from the original JB... Bravo, 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 Pirelli. Tires were the stars of the race. Jensen accepts the introductory offer of a Renault service for the Merc. Jamie tries the prototype SBR motor trike and fails. Hey, Nando, in case you didn't hear me last week, Felipe is faster than you. A shame that Di Resta finished outside the points. He's Dario's cousin, you know. Shanghai is confirmed as not boring. 3 weeks until the next race? That's brutal.
From Leon Bray, fantastic race, fantastic drive by Hamilton and Weber, 18th to 3rd without Kurs, fastest lap and only 7 seconds behind the winner. Best race for a number of years, Red Bull Racing and McLaren, and then there is the rest. Hope the rest of the season is exciting, but where was the pussycat doll? At least the finger wasn't being rested. Was being rested, excuse me.
Ye writes, another incredibly entertaining race. So long as Red Bull continue to self-harm, we will have another fun season. And it's all thanks to one company, Pirelli.
From Interraptor, the Kurs curse is still on Red Bull. Newey should get used to the fact aerodynamics are not sufficient anymore. Still great drive by Weber. Sutil lost out against Di Resta again. And Heikki beat Maldonado and Perez. Lotus is now with the back of the midfield. Good work.
McChaos writes, a great race. It's this race that makes me love F1. Really great result for Weber, and watching the fight between McLaren, Red Bull, and Mercedes Ferrari gave me a great time watching the race.
Dr. Mark F. Stunning aggressive drives by Hamilton and Weber overcome qualifying and pre-race near disasters for both. How come RBR can't make Kurs work for a whole race? Is it really that difficult?
Left turn writes, great racing. And best of all, overtaking skill was rewarded. Hamilton overcame early issues by putting on a passing clinic that will not soon be forgotten. Not to be outdone, Webbo carved up the field for an amazing podium finish. Best of all, massive amounts of overtaking with respect and little crashing and no steward involvement.
From Neon Zapper, congrats to Hamilton. Vettel's finger got some much-needed rest, and Weber exhibited number one driver skills in traffic. Not bad. Vettel needs curves, Ferrari needs speed, and all need fresh tires. So there you have it. Thanks for contributing to the podcast from the forum. Of course, Steve, my page had very few.
Well, next one from Parrothead. He writes... Where were the penalties for Alonso and Massa? Massa crossed the white line on pit out. Alonso used the DRS after the straightaway trying to pass Schumi. If McLaren did that, they would have been given a penalty.
And finally, from Leadfoot, who would have thought the Pirelli factor would mix it up so well? Wake up, Button. One of the best races ever. It was pretty good. Yeah. I'm still getting to grips with all of this. And I'm telling you, these races with all the stops, they're all the excitement and all the moving and all the passing, it's hard for me to take notes.
Because there's so much happening.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to admit, because I do take notes during the race, and I'm watching the Formula1.com feed, and then, of course, I'm watching the Beeb on another computer, and I've got a notebook, I've got, you know, my 4-gallon cup of coffee.
Yeah, especially, actually, you'll like it a lot better when we get to Turkey and it's a 4 o'clock start again.
Thank God for the European theater. I really am looking forward to the preferred time schedule for me.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Anyway, let's go quickly to
Motorsports. Let's spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and Clark Rogers, the King of France.
Well, they call me the Duke of Dijon. Greetings and racing regards from Dijon to the beautiful hills of Dover. Of course, there was a lot of racing action and a lot of fun for the F1 Weekly fans and friends.
Friends and fans, yeah. A lot of former interviewees doing winning. Quite well this week.
I'm telling you, we call it the Nasir touch. It's absolutely beautiful. Let's go right to it. The Indy Racing lead, Mike Conway, claimed his first IndyCar series. And of course, Mike Conway had that horrendous accident at the Indianapolis 500 where the car flew up, crashed against the fencing, and was completely destroyed.
Yeah, scary.
Very brutal. But anyway, he got his first IndyCar series race victory with a late charge in Long Beach despite tumbling down the order with a messy first pit stop. And this was a great race. Long Beach is always exciting. Lots of history. And I watched the entire thing myself. Did you catch any of that, Steven?
You know, I actually didn't catch any of that race this weekend.
Excellent. Let's move on to Le NASCAR. Reigning NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion Jimmy Johnson claimed his first win of the season by snatching victory from Clint Bower in a photo finish at Talladega.
Talladega?
Yeah, it was exciting. But I'm telling you, did you catch any of this race, Steven?
No.
Nor did I. But I did catch the next, which was the opener to the Indy Racing at Long Beach. And that was the Indy Lights Series. And that was a very, very exciting race. And our F1 Weekly friend and follower, Connor Daly, takes his first Indy Racing League, well, Indy Lights Racing League win. Of course, he was late for their first practice because he was flying back from Barcelona from the GP3 contest. Very well done. A little jet lag, tired, but he goes out there. And of course, the leader had crashed into the tire barriers two or three laps to go. And it was a fantastic race. Connor just made no mistakes and did a fantastic job. And congratulations to Connor Daly and his entire family.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Definitely.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Let's go to F3, British Formula 3 series. Five of the British Formula 3 drivers have been handled penalties for corner cutting during this afternoon's 40-minute feature at Monza.
At Monza.
Yep, Vortex Will Buehler and Fami Ilias, Carlin's Rupert Svensson, and Double R's Scott Pye and Hi-Tech's Ricky Christolulu have all been dropped down the order for their transgressions. See? Can't be cutting those chicanes, dude.
No, can't cut corners.
And of course, I apologize for
butchering anybody's name.
Yes, I know those pronunciations are brutal, and Nasser does a much better job. That's why he gets a better check. Let's go to Formula 2. Mickey Monroy took a dominant victory in the second Formula 2 race of the season at Silverstone. The Spaniard, who made his series debut 24 hours earlier, made a great getaway from pole position to lead into the first corner, never looked back as he pulled away to an easy win by over Texas... No, not Texas, Clark. By over 10 seconds from Mirko Bortolotti, which was great. That was a great race. Very exciting. You could catch it online or YouTube. Let's go right to World Series by Renault in beautiful Aragon, Motorland, as they call it. And the reigning Formula Renault 2.0 Europe champion, Kevin Korhus, produced a faultless drive to take victory in race two of the opening round of the Formula Renault 3.5 season at Motorland. Of course, I have to say that our wonderful Alexander Rossi did win race one. And that was very exciting for Alexander. The Estonian surpassed his own expectations for acclimatizing, I'm not going to say it again.
Acclimatizing.
Thank you, to the 480 horsepower World Series car. Kyrgios had feared it would be impossible to win a race this season against more experienced opposition, but led home Saturday's race, one winner, Alexander Rossi, by 1.7 seconds. So a great, great race. And, of course, Nasser Hamid and Peter Brazier were attending this race and acquiring interviews for all of you out there. So, fantastic. That's it for my Motorsports Mondial. I'm sure there's more stuff out there, but I have to leave some for other people
to find and dig up.
Correct. So, very much thank you. Let's quickly go to the wrap-up. San Francisco Formula One group, they get together, they drink, they eat, and then they watch the race. SFF1.com. They also have great raffles with the Henri Paul Cayet photographs and what have you. So it's very cool. Quickly, the opening season for the Red Lion Oil Karting Championship had 85 entries, was the largest turnout in the series history. In addition to strong Rotax fields, there were good entries in the S2, S4, 80 Masters, IAME, TAG, and KPV2 classes. And, of course, everybody was very happy with some fantastic racing. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Red Lion Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRT karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites, Steve. I know you tweet, and I tweet, and we all tweet together.
Tweet, tweet. A tweet, a tweet, a tweet, tweet.
Anyway, Facebook is very active, and you know, whatever I post on the front page on F1 Weekly goes right to Facebook. So, do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross promote with our website or podcast, just email me info@f1weekly.com. I just want to mention that we're taking a week break. This is the F1Weekly.com spring break period where everybody goes skiing in beautiful Lake Tahoe, all together as a big family.
Really?
Yeah, it's great.
When am I getting my invite?
It's coming, Steve. it's in the same envelope as your check.
Oh, so that explains it.
Thank you very much. So anyway, thank you, and good night.
Good night.